Hey, do you guys know that the God who created the universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every day. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God, where he reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build on a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life loud and clear. And let's get right to Rick with part one of a message called Recognizing God's Voice.
Last week, we began a new mini-series on understanding how to hear the voice of God. Very few things are more important than this, because you can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God. If all you do is ever talk to Him in prayer and you never hear God speak to you, that's a one-way relationship. That isn't much of a relationship. God wants to speak to you. Now this week, I want us to look at the issue of how do I know when it's God? When I get an idea in my mind, how do I know where that idea came from, that impression, that thought? How do I know it didn't come from the devil or it came from the bad burrito I ate last night? Or it came from my own thoughts. I just thought it up. I mean, you talk to yourself all the time. I talk to myself all the time. I am my own best friend. And you're talking, you have a running conversation with you throughout the day. How do I look? How do I feel? What's going on? How should I handle that? Respond to that. And it's very easy to sometimes be confused on, is this God telling me to do this? Or is this just something I want to do? You know what I'm talking about? Is this really just my idea, or did God give me this idea? Or did it come to the devil, or is it some bad tape that I'm playing in the past? It is extremely important you know how to discern when it's God talking to you. Because if you don't, it can be fatal. The Bible says this, if you take out your message notes on Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, what you think is the right road may lead to death. In other words, it can be fatal. A lot of evil gets blamed on God when people say, well, God told me to do this. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, don't believe every message you hear just because someone says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. Circle the phrase, test it. That's what we're going to talk about this weekend. I want you to learn 7 ways to test an impression from the Bible. It's a very important and practical message so that you can know how to test a message from God. Because the fact is, one moment you can get an idea from God, and the next moment you can get an idea from Satan in a split second. Let me give you a classic example of it. One day Jesus is with his 12 disciples, and he turns to Peter, one of the 12, and he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, well, Lord, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks straight at Peter, and he says, right on, Pete. He says, you have spoken the truth. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. In other words, Peter, that idea didn't come from you. That idea came from God. He said, you're right. You spoke the truth. I am the Son of God. And that idea that was put in your mind came from God. It wasn't revealed by flesh and blood. Immediately, Jesus says to Peter, now, Peter, I've got to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die there. And Peter immediately says, that's nonsense, Lord. You can't let them do that to you. And not 5 seconds later, Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. What's he saying? He's saying, that thought didn't come from God. That thought, Peter, that you just spoke came from the devil. That's how quick you can miss it. 1 minute you can be saying, you're right. That thought came from God, and upon this rock, this truth, I will build my church. And the very next second, you're saying something, and Jesus looks and says, Peter, you didn't get that one from God. That's the devil. Because the devil did not want Jesus to die, because in dying on the cross, he would die for the sins of mankind and allow our salvation. And he didn't want that to happen in that way. And knowing that, he said, that thought is from the devil. Now, how do you know? Well, he says, test it. Look at the next verse. Jesus said in John 7:17, anyone who wants to do God's will. Now, that's the key. You got to want to be willing to do it in advance. Anyone who wants to do God's will can test this teaching and know whether it's from God or whether I'm making it up. Jesus says, you know what? You can test what I say, and you can then know for sure that it's from God. Now, how do you do that? Well, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at seven ways to test an impression. Now, these seven tests form a filter. And if you get an idea from God, or you get an idea in your mind, you're going, now, did I just think that up? Or is that from the devil? Or is that some old tape that my great grandmother said or something? Or is that really from the Holy Spirit? You test it by these seven tests. And if it passes all seven, then you can know for certain it's from God. Now, you can't pick and choose. You can't say, well, that passed test 1, 3, 5, and 7, but it didn't pass 2, 4, and 6. No, no, it's got to pass all seven. But if an idea that you have passes all seven tests, then you can know absolutely certain, and God wants you to know this, that you have heard from God. Now, God put that idea in your mind, and it is something he wants you to do. All right, let's look at these seven tests from the Bible. The first test, there's seven questions. The first question is, does it agree with the Bible? Does the idea that I've got in my mind right now, that thought, that impression, does it agree with the Bible? Because God's will never contradict God's word. What he's already said. God doesn't say one thing and then change his mind and say another thing. If he said it, it's true, and it will always be true. See, God is consistent. God isn't moody. God doesn't change his mind. God will never tell you to violate a principle that he's already given in his word, the Bible, the word of God. He won't tell you to ignore this book. He'll never tell you to disobey this book. So the first question you ask is, does this line up with what God has already said? And if what I have in my mind contradicts something God has already said, then I know I'm wrong, that it didn't come from God, because truth is eternal. Notice these verses, Luke 21:33. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, circle that, never pass away. God's word is eternal. The earth isn't eternal, the universe isn't eternal, but God's word is eternal, because truth never changes. If something was true 5,000 years ago, it was true 1,000 years ago. It is true today, and it will be true 5,000 years from today, because truth doesn't change. Opinions change. Science changes. Scientific discoveries change. I mean, the science textbook's out of date almost instantly the moment it's, who wants to buy last year's, computer book? It's out of date. But God's word doesn't change, and truth never changes. In fact, if it's new, it's not true. What do you mean by that? I'm saying it's always, if it's true, it's been around forever. We just discover it. For instance, many years ago, we discovered that the world was round. Prior to that, people believed the world was flat. Now, the world was never flat. It's always been round. It's always been round even when we didn't believe it was round. Okay? It was true whether you believe it or not. People say, God said it, that I believe it, that settles it. Well, no. God said it, that settles it whether you believe it or not. Because God cannot lie. I lie, you lie, but God cannot lie. And so God always tells you the truth. And if he told you in this book to do something, then he's never going to contradict it. So the first question I ask is this idea in harmony with the word of God? For instance, let me give you some examples. In the book of Romans, the Bible tells us, pay your taxes. We are commanded as good citizens to pay our taxes. And Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God's. Now, if all of a sudden you get an idea, God told me to not pay my taxes this year. That wasn't God. Okay, that wasn't God. Because God has already said, pay your taxes, and he's not going to contradict it. If I go over here to the book of Proverbs, there's a bunch of principles for how to have a successful business in the book of Proverbs. And one of the principles is God says, I bless businesses with integrity. Businesses that are fair in every business dealing, businesses that are just, businesses that are honest. And so if you get an idea that, well, you know what, I could make a little bit bigger profit this year if I just shaved a little. I know it wouldn't be quite right. If I was a little dishonest, my profits could increase. That idea did not come from God because it contradicts what God has already said. The Bible tells us that sex is not dirty. Sex is holy. God thought it up. It was his idea. And God created sex to be the glue between a husband and a wife. And many times in Scripture, God says sex is to be reserved only for a husband and a wife in the bonds of a marriage. Now, you may not like that, but it doesn't make it untrue. And you may say, well, I want to go out and have sex with whoever I want to have sex with. Well, fine, but you didn't get that idea from God. That's your idea. And don't say, God told me to go have sex with that person, because he didn't. Now, the Bible says that even if some angel showed up and came along and said, oh, by the way, I've got some new revelation. I've got some stuff to add to this book. Yeah, that's good, but here's the new stuff. This is the new revised, and we're going to update it. We're going to give you one or two or more other books besides the Bible. God says, you know, that's not right. In fact, here's what the Bible says, Galatians chapter 1. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including myself, Paul says, who preaches any other message. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, says, no, no, the Bible's not enough. You got to add this to it. You got to add this revelation. You got to add this book. You got to add this thought. If anybody else adds to it, he goes, let him be cursed. The Bible says this again in Revelation. You may not add to what God has already said. What am I saying? The vast majority of God's will for your life is already here. It's right here in this book. Now, the second test is just as important. All seven of these are important. The second test is, when I get an idea, I ask, does this make me more like Christ? Does this idea make me more like Christ? Jesus is the standard by which I evaluate every thought, every idea, every philosophy, every opinion, every fad, every opinion. I hold it up against Jesus Christ. Why? Because God's purpose in your life is to make you like Jesus. We've talked about this many times. Why doesn't God just take you to heaven? Why did God put you on earth for 80 years and then take you to heaven? Why doesn't he just create you and take you to heaven? Why does he put you here on earth for 80 years? You ever thought about that? I mean, he could have just taken you straight to heaven. He put you here because life is a test and a trust and a temporary assignment. He wants you to practice the things you're going to do in heaven, and he wants you to become like Jesus Christ in character. That's going to involve some problems and going through the things Jesus went through. Now, life is tough. Everybody agree with that? Life is hard because nothing works on this planet correctly. Everything is broken. Every body is broken. Every mind is broken. Every relationship is broken. There is nothing perfect. There's no perfect marriage, no perfect economy, no perfect church, no perfect country. The weather is broken. We just saw that this week. The environment is broken, all because of sin. Heaven is going to be the place where we relax and have fun. Right now, God is more interested in your character than your comfort. And he wants you to grow up and become like Jesus. Now look at these verses. The Bible says, in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. God says, Jesus is the model. And in the next verse, we take every thought captive. In other words, we test every thought. We test every thought so it's obedient to Christ. So we ask. It means that when I get an idea, the first thing I ask is, now would Jesus do this? Would Jesus think this? Would Jesus feel this way? Would Jesus act this way? Because he's the standard. He's the second filter. What would Jesus do is a good question. It's a good question. What, because I want to be like Christ. Now, God gives a specific checklist. Because you say, well, what's Jesus like? Well, he's the fruit of the Spirit. God says Jesus is love, and he's joy, and he's peace, and he's patience, and kindness, and gentleness, and goodness, and meekness, and self-control. But here's another passage I want us to look at. James chapter 3 gives us some things that Jesus is and some things that Jesus isn't. And if you get an idea, this is a good filter or grid to test the idea. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom, in other words, those thoughts, those ideas, those impressions, such, quote, wisdom, that's of the devil. You know where those ideas came from. The wisdom that comes from God, the ideas, the impressions, the thoughts that come from God, that wisdom is pure, it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive and full of mercy, it's impartial and sincere. Now notice, he says, here's a test. There are two things you can know an idea is not from God, and there's seven things you can know it is an idea that is from God. It's not God's wisdom and it is God's wisdom. First, he says, it's not an idea from God if it's motivated by bitterness or envy. What do you mean by that? God says, if I get an idea on how to get even with somebody, how to get revenge with somebody, how to retaliate to somebody, and I say, you know what? That person hurt me. How can I get them back? Oh, I know. I'm going to get them good. This is a good idea. I know how I'll embarrass them. I know how I'll hurt them back. He says, that idea didn't come from God. That came from the devil. That's a satanic idea. It's a satanic idea. An idea to retaliate, to get even, to get revenge. Those ideas do not come from God. And then he says also, if it's based on envy, if I go out and say, you know what? I'm going to buy this car so people will envy me. I'm going to buy this pair of shoes, this shirt. I'm going to buy this dress so people will be jealous of me. And they're going to look at me and they're going to envy and be jealous of me. God says, you didn't get that idea from me. It didn't come from me, because he says, that's from the devil. That wisdom comes from Satan. And then he says also, if it's motivated by selfish ambition, he said, any idea motivated by selfish ambition does not come from God. God doesn't give you self-serving ideas. You come up with plenty of them yourself. He doesn't have to create them for you. You think them up all the time. And so, you know, if you say, I've got a great idea that's just going to make me filthy rich, and everybody's going to worship me, and everybody's going to be envious of me and jealous of me, and I'm going to be the king of the heap and the top dog, and everybody else is going to be underneath me, and I'm going to be number one. God said, you didn't get that idea from me. Selfish ambition. God said, I didn't put you on earth to bless your selfish ambition. That's not what I put you on earth to do, to live for yourself. See, a lot of people try to use God for their own personal ambition. And they say, well, now God told me to do this. Then that's the trump. How do you trump God? But where did that come from? He says it came from the devil. And he says, now, if you get an idea and it's from God, it's going to be one of these things: pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial and sincere. So let's look at these. First, if I get an idea, an impression from God is going to be pure. So if I get an impure thought, that one's obviously did not come from God. And it says, if I get an idea from God, it's going to be peace-loving. What does that mean? It means when God gives you an idea, it promotes harmony, not conflict. It promotes reconciliation, not division, not war, not separation. God is not going to give you an idea that to create conflict in your family, to create conflict in your small group, to create conflict at work, to create conflict at church or somewhere else. To divide people into this side and that side. He says, Real wisdom is peace loving. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They are the children of God. The people who build bridges, not build walls. And in life, you're either a bridge builder or you're a wall builder. He says, be peace loving. Now, what does that mean? It means all gossip is satanic. It doesn't come from God. It's satanic. Why? Because the Bible says Satan is the accuser. He is the accuser of Christians. He is the condemner of Christians. His job is to put you down. His job is to condemn you, to criticize you. When you criticize, condemn, and gossip about others, you're just doing the devil's work for you. He says, thank you very much. All gossip is satanic. It's not from God. It's not pure. It's not peace-loving. And number three, it's not considerate. The third thing I ask is, I got this idea. Would it hurt anybody else? Would it harm anybody else? Now, if I get an idea and it'll really help me, but it hurts everybody else, that idea isn't from God. If I get an idea and it's going to help me, but it's going to hurt everybody else in my family, it's going to hurt my wife and my kids, that idea did not come from God. It's real simple. Because wisdom from God is considerate. God is concerned about the effects on other people. And then it says, real wisdom, our ideas, impressions from God, are submissive. What does that mean? Submissive is humble. Submissive is teachable. Submissive is willing to have your idea checked by somebody else. What do you think? When you say to somebody else, what do you think about this idea? You are submitting that idea to them. And so to have an idea from God, if it's really from God, you're more than willing to say to your small group, what do you guys think about this? Guys, if you have an idea and you don't really want to tell your wife about this idea, it didn't come from God. Okay? Because you're not willing to submit it to say, what do you think about this, honey? Wives, if you get an idea and you don't really want to check it out with your husband, like, should I buy this? Well, guess what? That's not a submissive attitude. Humble and teachable. If an idea is from God, the Bible says it is submissive. That means you're willing to have it tested. What do you guys think? And you ask around and you ask your small group and, you know, or you ask the people you're working with, your staff. You say, what do you guys think about this idea? You see, when people are prideful and they're unteachable and they are self-righteous, it is a dead giveaway that they're not hearing from God. Because the wisdom of God is pure, peace-loving, considerate, and submissive.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship. And we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.